Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. Today, our pastor has a special word just for our partners. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
You know, I really believe God's doing a lot of work in our partners. I really, really do. Thank you, partners. Your prayers, I feel them. I do. Our schedule is just, well, you know, it's very testy. There's so many people crying out for so much. Besides the sick, besides the hurting, besides the lost, there's so many that are just not knowing what's going on. And no matter what you say to them, their mind isn't clear and sound. There's no sure footing for them. So all of your prayers that are coming my way, and I'm sending out a healing signal as far as I can, we're working together. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all of that, what you do. And for the gifts that you send in, the finances, thanks. It's enabling us to do so much. Equipment, add some staff, you know, besides the stations that we're on. And these crusades are getting so much more expensive. Renting the facilities, all of what it takes to make these crusades happen. I'm grateful. I really, really am. Let's get in our Bible study for 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 48. We're going to cut in and chime into the story of David and Goliath. Something I've noticed in our meetings that has been taking place for years. And I really want to share this with you today. I really believe it can be so helpful to you. Verse 48 says, "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." David didn't run away from the battle. He ran to the battle. He ran to the roar of the lion. He ran towards the bad breath of Goliath. David was ready for this. David put his hand in his bag, and he took thence a stone, and he slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone. And he smote the Philistine, and he slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of the sheath, therefore, and slew him. Now, notice in 50, he slew him with the stone. And in 51, it says he slew him with the sword. And he cut off his head wherewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. These two verses always kind of was interesting to me because it says that he took out a stone, he threw the stone, it stuck in the forehead, and he slew the giant with the stone. Goliath hits the ground. But it never said when Goliath hit the ground that he was dead. It just said that he hit the ground. But then David ran and he stood up on the giant and he didn't have a sword. And therefore he got the sword, he drew out the sword, cut off Goliath's head, and it uses the same Hebrew word, and he slew him. So I was reading this and I thought, well, Lord, you can't kill somebody twice. Did the stone kill him and the sword cut his head off? But then why are you using the same word? He slew him and he slew him. What is this? And I've left this go just for many, many years. And recently I felt the Holy Spirit say, I really want you to tell the people what's happening. What's happening in your meetings and what this verse really means. And you know, it seemed to me that he can't kill somebody twice. And number two, it seemed to me that the stone didn't kill him. The stone knocked him on the ground, made him more beatable. Sometimes God has to bring your enemy down to where your faith is. Your faith can't handle the whole thing, so he brings it down to where your faith can take care of it, because it is important that you and I are engaged in the battle. Let's talk about this. So many people come to our meetings, especially, you know, that I know of, and many meetings that I've been at, and that anointing is there, those prayers are there, and you feel the power. Maybe you get slain, maybe you don't, but maybe you feel presence. Maybe you leave knowing you got a prayer of faith. Maybe there's been a subsiding in your condition. Maybe that you were healed partially. Maybe the manifestation didn't happen all the way. So many scenarios. And sometimes over the years, you don't try and figure it out. You want to trust. You don't want to dampen anything with any doubt. You know, you don't want any hesitation. Did something really happen? I mean, I'm a prisoner of hope. I'm grateful to God for what He's done in me and what I see Him do in our services, but it doesn't mean I don't have questions. It doesn't mean that there's things that either happen or don't happen that I think, well, Lord, help me. Because understanding is a weapon. That's why Solomon said, get knowledge with it, get wisdom, and get thine understanding. That's the trifecta of Scripture. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding. And that understanding is just, when you get that, things unlock. When you get that, I mean, just nuggets begin to flow and fall in your life. And it doesn't mean everybody else will understand it. But whenever you're the one speaking, you're the carrier of this, it's really important that you have some ability to explain on some level to people to keep their motives right, to keep their motor running, to keep hope alive. You know, I mean, I don't know, I can't account for everybody else, but Billy Burke isn't just about holding a meeting and praying for people and seeing people fall to the ground. That's not who I'm about. We really want to help people, and sometimes that involves a process. And guess what else it sometimes involves? You, the recipient, doing your part, getting engaged with the helper of heaven and earth, the Holy Spirit. See, sometimes God just doesn't want to do everything for us because we don't learn how to handle our spiritual sword. We don't learn how to handle our shield. Holy Spirit never said He would do stuff. He said He would help us do it. And the Greek word parakletos means He's our parakletos, means He's our helper. He won't come and paint Billy Burke's house, but He'll come and help me paint it. He won't fix my car, but He'll help me. See, the more engaged you get in obedience, the more engaged you get with obeying an instruction. And it may be just as simple. He does the heavy lifting. It's not you or I that does the heavy lifting. But just the simple thing. What's He say in Job 22:28? He says, you make a decree, I'll establish it. Right here. You make a decree, I'll establish it. Well, who does the heavy lifting there? Holy Spirit. What's your job? I decree that by this time next year, I will have all my bills paid. That's my job. To decree it, believe it. He says, I'll establish it. I'm going to begin to work circumstances and people to make that all happen. Wow. But don't underestimate your part. Don't underestimate that decree part. That means saying it out loud. That means saying it with conviction. That means say it frequently, because usually frequently means it takes frequent for you to absorb what you're even saying. My mountains don't have to move until the mountain sees that I believe what I've said. The first person that hears my faith is me. The mountain don't even have to move until the mountain says he believes that. Then the mountain has to move. Because the devil knows and mountains know that people move more in emotion than they do in faith. They move more in fear than they do in faith. Faith brings a rest. Faith brings a trust. Faith brings an assurance that what you're screaming out for is going to happen. Faith isn't, I hope that, and that's hope. You're into hope and faith. No, that's not faith, that's hope. And for this giant, so a lot of people that come to the services, they don't realize it, but they come, you know, and I understand it because I was there. It happened to me. Yet when I left Catherine Kuhlman's service, completely clean of cancer, I still had to go home. And the only support group I really had was a radical grandmother. We called her Ma'am, M-A-M. She was a radical Iron Maiden of our family. She was just, and she read, and she was amazing. She was there to deal with every symptom that reoccurred. But she got me involved. She said, I want you to sleep with this prayer cloth. I want you to wear this prayer cloth in your shoe. I want you to learn how to plead the blood. I'm 9 years old. The only blood I knew is the blood that came from me when I got cut. And she just was, you know, putting that, that's what prophetic is. It's putting in something in somebody that where it's missing. One of those colors of the rainbow is missing, so you put the color in the rainbow that's missing. The color, you put the music note on the scale that's not there. It's putting into place what's missing in that given situation. So prophetic word, you plant peace, you plant joy, you plant faith. If it's not in somebody, we can plant it in them. Isn't that amazing? I'm getting excited right here in the studio. I mean, you can know something, but be expecting nothing. You can know the verse, but be expecting nothing. Well, how profitable is that? You can be giving your tithe every week and sowing seed to ministry every week, partnering with our ministry, and yet expecting no return. And people do it all the time. Oh, I just do it. I just do it. I just, you know. God's never going to let you do anything for him and not get some kind of return. What did he say in Proverbs 3? Bigger barns, bursting wine presses. Why would God ever promise Billy Burke bigger barns and bursting wine? Why would he give me that picture? He doesn't dangle the carrot. When God says bigger barns for your service, for your gift, for your whatever, he's going to do that. What's that do? It creates expectation. It creates preparation for manifestation, for something that you need to come out of the invisible into the visible. Every time you operate in faith, you go into another realm, you pick it up and you bring it back into this realm. That realm has the realm, that's the realm of unlimited supply. That's the realm of all the missing body parts. That's the realm of where there's no limit to the gold, the silver, and the riches of the earth, and the resources, and this, and that. It's all there, but it's getting it from that realm into this realm. And sometimes God just doesn't want you to have everything drop shipped to your front door. Now, there's times whenever that's just what, that's it. But there's a time whenever he says, come on, it's time for you to learn. What did he say to Moses in Psalm 103? Is it Psalm 103? He said, I've shown Moses my ways. I've shown Israel my power. I've shown Israel my power, but I've shown Moses how to do the power. Would I like to see the power? Yes, but I'd much rather know the ways. How do you make that happen? And that's what God showed Moses. Sometimes you speak to it. Sometimes you throw a branch in. Sometimes you offer your life as a sacrifice. I mean, Moses, for old covenant, for being under a lesser covenant, amazing how he learned the ways of God. And in this story, we're seeing that God wanted David to do more than just knock a giant down. You can go to church and be slain, and what God often does with that slaying power or with that touch or with that 30% is he takes the head or he takes the heavy lifting and he does that partial, so he leaves the rest for you. In other words, he knocked that giant down to the size where your faith is. Initially, it was too big for your faith to take care of it. Plain and simple, it was just too big for you. You haven't exercised faith on something that level. So God brings it down through somebody else's prayers, somebody else's prophetic utterances, and you're doing so much better, but you're not done yet, and you know that. I'm just waiting on the Lord. Well, he's saying, hey, it's down to where it's manageable now for you. Not manageable to be medicated the rest of your life. Not manageable for you to tolerate the rest of your life. Manageable for you now to put the name on it, to put the blood on it, to put the promise on it, to get busy being diligent, being faithful, getting busy acting like I want this to be a part of my life. I mean, was you ever so tired you didn't even want to get up to get something to eat? You're starving for food, but you're laying there thinking, I don't know if I'm more tired or more hungry. I want what the grocery store has, but I don't want to drive there to get it. All through our life, we fight the cost of the dream, the cost of the prize. I don't know if any of you can remember the old Cracker Jacks box when we were little. You know, it had caramel corn in it, was a little cheap little prize. And I was just prize-minded. So I would buy the Cracker Jacks, and who cared about the caramel corn? I wanted to see what was the prize in that box. David said to Saul, he said, what's the prize for killing the giant? David's saying, I don't like the fact he's mocking Israel. I don't like the fact that he's an enemy of God, but is there anything extra here that we're talking about? David needed a little bit of extra motivation. He did. The prize is you get to marry my daughter. The prize is you get to have some extra money, some resources. And David said, I'm the man for the job. Whatever motivation you need, let me tell you the big one. On the other end of this victory, family, you affect family. You affect your church. You add legacy to your story. You affect demons and devils who find out that you're nobody to mess with, that you are a believer. You're not just a spectator. You're now an imitator. And the devil don't like imitators. He loves spectators. Remember what the verse in Psalm 103 says? Israel, he showed Israel. So Israel always got first-class tickets, bucket seats, front row to miracles. But only Moses knew how to do it. Who do you want to be? Do you want to be them that just watch? Or do you want to be those? Do you want to look at fish at the aquarium? Or do you want to feel life on the other end of a pole? I know you do. We're wired. You're wired not just to win, but to be engaged in the process. To know that some of your prayers, some outside acts of obedience, that communion that you took that you never really take that much, that phone call that you made, that email that you sent, that time you stayed up all night like Jacob and wrestled for the blessing, those things matter. They get woven into your DNA. You become a different person. You move and change addresses. You get stronger, mightier, more trustworthy. Thank every teacher you listen to, because everybody you're listening to is whittling down all of your enemies. The enemy of lack, the enemy of disease, the enemy of apathy, the enemy of boredom and blues. All of those different components that just hit us and try and choke the Word of God, try and take away our life's flow. But that other stuff, that other Bible passage you're reading, that other preacher you listen to, that time you were slain, more went on down there than you even know. You got up, it seems like everything's the same. Oh, no. You're flowing, you're cooperating. The giant is down, and you're getting ready to take its head off. I really believe that's what's taking place. I know it's really difficult sometimes to get fully engaged in your stuff. I mean, it's this stuff that we all face and fight, family, friends, health. I mean, sometimes it's just the drive to do it's just not there. Sometimes you're stretched out, maxed out with family and other issues of your life. You're thankful for the church. You're thankful for the people that are praying and have giftings to help you. But let me tell you something. Please let me say this to you. God wants you involved. Either on the front end where you fill the water pots with water, or on the back end where you're collecting 12 baskets after the miracle. Or maybe in between whenever you're on your way to the pool to wash your eyes. Before, during, or after, God wants you to feel the glory. God wants you to experience His Word coming to pass in you. to watch what you say happen with your hand on it. Oh, I'll tell you, no matter what, there's fulfillment in baking. I mean, my grandmother, I grew up her baking homemade bread. I never knew the privilege, but she'd make these homemade breads. They look like a mushroom, like an atom bomb went off. The head on that thing, and then the short stem and that homemade bread. And I remember the warm bread, and she'd put butter on that bread, and she'd cut me a big slice, and she would say, "You like that?" And I'd say, "Where'd you get this?" She said, "Well, I made that." In other words, she was involved in the process of it. I said, can you do that? Can we have that every day? Of course, that wasn't possible for our family at that time. But I could see in her this gleam and this sparkle in her eye. I didn't go buy that at the store. I didn't pick that up at a fast food restaurant. I was engaged with my hands in the dough, and I measured, and I put it in a pan, and I stuck it in the oven, and I timed it. I was engaged in the development of to watch you eat it and to watch you enjoy it. This is the great day for grandmother. The satisfaction of preparing a dinner. The satisfaction of completing a project. The satisfaction of pleasing your boss or someone supervising you with an assignment, when they come back and say, "Well done. How'd you do that?" It's never been better. Why? Because you were engaged. Oh, listen to me. There's nothing that can ring your bell louder, put that sparkle in your eye, to know that Jesus just didn't heal you, but you filled the water pots. He used the water you filled. You listened to him, and you went and showed yourself to the high priest, and it worked. I can't tell many times I've walked out of crusades, miracle services, and it works. You really do what you say. It's just overly impressive. Today, get engaged. Today, what God starts, he'll finish, but he might want to finish it through you.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word HEALED. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.